Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, students and educators on the traditional public school calendar are returning to school all across North Carolina this week, but unfortunately, state leaders have yet to adopt a budget that would provide for growth in the student population, teacher pay raises, textbooks, and all the other essentials in a K-12 education system. Earlier this week, I got a chance to sit down with Mark Jewell, the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators, to get his assessment of, among other things, what's behind the budget impasse between Republican legislative leaders and Governor Cooper, what's preventing negotiations between the two sides, and what ought to happen next.
Well, Mark Jewell, welcome back to News and Views, my friend. Good to have you back with us.
It's always a pleasure to be with you all and talk about public education.
It's back to school time here in North Carolina. If the teachers are back, the kids are going back. But we have a lot of unresolved issues in the state policy world as it affects education.
You know, I think the educators across the state of North Carolina are saying, we're back to school and we need a budget. You know, we have 1.5 million students in our classroom that are coming. Majority of them next week. Some are already back, obviously, in year round. But, you know, they're ready. You know, they need the resources. They need textbooks and technologies to be successful. They want a certified teacher in their classroom. They want a workable class size. You know, our educators out there need to know what they're going to be making. Right now, we have the salary schedule from last year that's being forced forward, and folks are struggling, and that wasn't the best salary schedule. You know, we've staggered over the past 10 years since the recession, and most of our experienced educators haven't had a pay increase since the recession.
And there's, of course, so many other items that are just sort of stuck in neutral, right? There's a lot of other funding items for education where we're not
Absolutely. The list is very long, obviously. Yeah. We know we have, you know, some of our lowest payer workers, you know, that was a priority of us on May 1 to make sure that they had that living wage increase that has not been addressed in the conference report. Medicaid expansion, obviously. We know that our kids can't learn if they come to school sick. It brings in jobs to the school district and to the states, and it's the right thing to do because it saves lives. You know, we haven't had any discussion about the health care of our students right now. And, you know, you talk about, you know, just the positions of our school counselors and nurses and social workers, those positions are being cut as we speak because budgets can't fund those locally. And we see people that are being, you know, transferred from one school or two schools to maybe three schools, four schools, five schools.
A lot of the reason we're in this fix is, of course, because we have this budget impasse in which the General Assembly passed a budget. Governor Cooper vetoed that budget because he felt it was inadequate. Now we're stuck. The legislature clearly doesn't have the votes to override the governor, but they're unwilling so far to sit down and actually talk about it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, the governor vetoed this budget because it did really nothing for public education, and he has the votes to sustain the veto. From what we hear from last night or this past week in the session, that everyone was in session and still the vote was on the calendar, but no vote happened. He has put forward a compromise budget that is still committed to public education, yet we don't see Speaker Moore taking it up at all. So there is no compromise from the other side, from the Republican Party, and as a result, our kids are suffering.
We had a supermajority, a conservative Republican supermajority in the General Assembly, and then in 2018 there was an election, and people voted a different way. They voted for more divided, negotiated government. One would think we have a Democratic governor, Republican legislature, but not an overwhelming majority. Do you think they were sort of had in mind that the two sides would kind of get together and maybe find some common ground? I mean, that's sort of what I assumed.
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, this past election, we came out in big numbers across the state in a midterm election. In fact, the citizens actually rejected some of those folks that were not fully investing in public education. So now we have both, we broke the supermajorities in the House and Senate. So you would think there would be negotiations right now, and that's not happening. So what we're seeing from the other side that's in power right now and the GA is they are not being responsive to their constituents, because the majority of the North Carolina's 10 million citizens want a strong public school system. They know that those community schools are the bedrock of their communities, and it's great for the economy. I mean, businesses don't want to move here if they have to send their kids, you know, to a private school for $35,000 a year.
So there's so many issues we could talk about in limited time. Another one that remains essentially unaddressed is the issue of school safety. And we know our teachers are incredibly resilient and creative, and they're doing their best under difficult circumstances to protect our kids, and the overwhelming majority of our kids are going to be just fine. But this issue remains a nagging issue. We haven't done really anything about it. The legislature has not taken any action to address the issue of gun violence, and it sort of looms as a shadow over all of our public gatherings in our society.
It really does. I mean, you see parents and educators across the country rising up and saying, you know, we have to do something to really address gun violence in our communities. We certainly don't are against arming teachers, which comes up every now and then in legislation. We know that weapons of war do not belong in our schools or in our communities, and they must take action on that. And, you know, when you're also talking about addressing the social emotional health of our students, and we're losing those positions, they're not being funded.
Psychologists, counselors, nurses.
Yes. And, you know, the kids are coming with, you know, higher degrees of trauma at a very early age. Yeah. And we're not doing right by them by not addressing those needs of trauma and the things that impact them, such as poverty.
Another controversial topic that's in front of our public education world these days is the issue of sort of privatization. We've had these efforts to create vouchers. We've had, of course, the growth in charter schools that don't have quite the same requirements as our public traditional public schools. It seems that there's been growth in enrollment in some of those alternative and even in homeschooling. How much of that do you think is a function of just people feeling that the traditional public schools are underinvested in? Or what do you think's driving that? What's behind that?
Well, I think you hit the point. Our public schools are definitely being deinvested. Yeah. But the option is not to leave the traditional public school systems there. If you would take those resources and invest them into your community schools, that would help. Siphoning off $45 million a year to an unaccountable voucher program, most of them are faith-based, is not the direction to go into. And I think, you know, that we need to take a really critical look at capping charter schools as we had prior to 2013. And obviously, I think we also need to look again and see the constitutionality of the voucher program here in North Carolina.
The charter school issue is one that's interesting because I think a lot of people have sort of a general idea. Well, if they're going to be true incubators of innovation and maybe they're going to come up with some new ideas that will then spread through the traditional public schools, that might not be so bad. But it seems that it's turned more into just a program, as you say, to sort of just siphon people away from the traditional.
Yeah, and I always tell people, I said, listen, your public schools and your local school districts are incubators of innovation right there. I think that was always a false narrative to put out there. What are you telling your community members when you say, wow, I got in at the lottery at this charter school down the street by the luck of the draw? What are you saying to your neighbor next door? Good luck. I mean, a constitution guarantees a sound basic education for all North Carolinians, and that means a unified school system. And I think that the state really seriously needs to look at that to make sure that we are spending the taxpayers' money where they should be, and that is in your local community schools.
You know, about 22 years ago, the North Carolina Supreme Court issued a very famous decision in the Leandro case in which it said every child has a constitutional right to a sound basic education. Since then, there have been sporadic efforts to actually enforce that ruling. Most would argue that it really hasn't come to much. But there's a new effort that seems to be afoot to actually, a panel's been meeting. They may make some recommendations. Is that something that's on the radar screen for NCAE?
Absolutely. NCAE sits on that panel. I'm very proud to represent the educators of North Carolina on the Leandro Commission, and which really addresses their scar of equity in North Carolina, and that's areas of poverty, schools and communities of high concentrations of communities of color that have not had the resources they need to be successful. And that continues today, 20 years later. In fact, we've taken a backward trend in investing in those areas. I'm very proud of the fact that the governor has taken up that mantle to say that we've got to look at these school districts and schools, even in high wealth districts, that are struggling to get certified educators there to get the resources they need for students to be successful.
Our time is limited, but there's another issue I wanted to talk to you about because it's been much in the news lately. It's a controversy surrounding this reading technology that's used to assess children. There's a controversy going on where between a couple of competing contractors that the state superintendent has awarded a contract, sort of went against the recommendation of his expert panel and picked another company to provide this service. I guess he picked one called iStation. Was that something you're following? You have any concerns
about? Yeah, obviously.
About?
We were, you know, our educators across the state, particularly our primary educators in the K-3, were very concerned when we went away from the M-Class program that actually was a device that had the teachers interacting with the students, being able to listen, assess, and evaluate. Apparently, the iStation is completely student interactive with a tablet and doesn't get feedback from the educator there. So we're very concerned that this has been adopted and is not the direction to go to when we need to be able to assess student reading and literacy.
It's the bedrock of learning in our system, the basic student literacy. We have a long way to go there still. Upcoming elections, there's some elections coming up in the congressional races.
Yes.
Are you paying attention to either of those? There's a
yes.
race in the 3rd District in Eastern North Carolina, in the 9th District. We've got Alan yes. Thomas against Greg Murphy and Dan McCready against Dan Bishop.
Our educators in both of those congressional districts have interviewed candidates on Democrat-Republican side of both congressional districts. And, you know, we're very proud to endorse Dan McCready for his congressional district and Alan Thomas for his. They both have a strong record of investment in of supporting public education and community resources. And to turn us away from this trajectory of the Trump-DeVos plan to privatize public education and take away our precious federal dollars that go to public education and block grant those into possibly for-profit charters or into voucher programs. So it's very important that we pay attention to those two congressional elections and that we get our community members to get out and vote for both McCready and Thomas.
Well, Mark, you've got so many items on your plate. We wish you good luck in staying cool and calm and collected in the months ahead.
We appreciate the opportunity. You know, obviously, we have our 1.5 million public school students. Our majority are going to come through the doors on Monday, and our educators are going to welcome them with open arms and hearts.
Thank you for all you do for our state.
Thank you.
Coming up next, a look at some remarkable numbers from a new report on North Carolina's fast-growing problem with student loan debt. Don't go away.